Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Matt is here. We have Formula One on tap. It is the week of Spa, one of my favorite weeks on the calendar. But we actually have a lot of news to get to first, which is fun because the summer break really, it didn't produce any driver changes, which I am shocked about. Matt is not shocked about because that's what he predicted. So, all right, Matt, you win this round. I'll give you that one. But let's see here. What do we start? We have, I guess, a couple track changes. Or I don't know if changes is the right word, but the city of Austin gave Circuit of the Americas the thumbs up for the October race. Fingers crossed that you might see us there in person covering it. We sent in an application today, so we'll see on that one. There might be a second CODA still. The track seems hopeful that there's a second one, but again, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway rumors have started to pop up. So I think I would rather see CODA and then IMS. Do we even need to have that? We don't even need to have that debate.
Nope.
No reason. And then Qatar is looking increasingly likely to join the 2021 calendar in November as a replacement for Australia. I don't particularly know anything about the Qatar track, and I could have looked it up beforehand, but was dealing with some other unfortunate issues going on in the world, in my world. So, Matt, what do you think about all the track changes there? And yeah, we've got a handful of places that are that could easily be could fit in if Qatar doesn't.
Yeah, I'm happy that CODA is going to stick around because I know Road America Group, Jill and Thomas and everybody are planning to go there. So I'm glad they can have their weekend. Obviously, it'd be super cool if we got access. I don't know. It seems like F1's kind of a juggernaut, so we'll see. I'm looking up the Qatar layout. I think I found it. The Low Sail International Circuit. Yeah.
Is it a Herman Tilke?
It does. It looks like it. let's see what Wikipedia has to say because it doesn't look that good. It looks like someone tried to redo Bahrain and then like sneezed in the second sector. See, they did a GP2 Asia in 2009.
So, do you see the track layout on Wikipedia? Like it's like the one that's in the top right. Tell me that doesn't look like a ghost with its hands flailing in the air. Come
only
on.
Only you.
Yeah, well listen. I think I deserve a laugh right now.
Did you just start something where you know like psychiatrists do ink blots or whatever? We're going to like try to figure out
what's in your brain.
Yeah. This kind of makes me nervous, though. It says it was built in under a year by 1,000 workers. And if anybody out there doesn't know the history behind Qatar and them hosting the World Cup next year, I'm pretty sure, let me just Google it. There have been mass amount of people that have been killed in the process of building their stadiums. And it's like an alarming number of people. I'm trying to find it because I don't want to misquote, but I know it's like an alarming figure. It really puts a sour taste on everything, really. And yeah, because the Guardian, 6,500 migrant workers have died in Qatar since the World Cup's been awarded building their stadiums.
Holy hell. And when is the World Cup there? It's coming up?
Next year. And it's weird because the World Cup's had to have shifted from the summer, which is usually like in June and July. They're doing it in, I believe, November because the weather is too hot to do it there in June. And so there's that. There's the bribery scandal. And then there's the amount of people who have died building their stadiums. It's been pretty fraught with drama, and it's that part of it makes me the most aggravated, obviously, the amount of people die. So when I heard the F1 might be going to Qatar, I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Like, it's just not a country that I have good connotations with, we'll say. And then now I see the track layout for the first time as we're talking, and, yeah, it doesn't set me alight either.
It's a lot of, you know, they've got a long straightaway and then kind of in the turn 15, 16 area, a couple shorter straightaways. But really, outside of that main straightaway, I don't see too many opportunities for passing. Maybe the shorter one if there's a second DRS zone added there. But I don't know, man. I'm not liking.
MotoGP goes there, but that's necessarily not the best thing because if a track's really good for MotoGP, that doesn't necessarily make it a good Formula One track either. So
yeah,
a
MotoGP bike is like 3 feet long, while an F1 car is like 40 feet long right now. So
thereabouts.
Thereabouts. Rough. My math might be like a little off. But interestingly, Sergio Perez has won there in GP2 Asia 12 years ago, but Nico Hülkenberg won there. Not that he'll be racing, but maybe he can offer his... Who's he a reserve driver for now?
Aston?
Aston Martin, is it? Yeah, I can't remember, and his Wikipedia page is not pulling it up, but he could maybe help them with some... probably nothing. So what else do we have here? Oh, the Michael Andretti thing. Why don't you bring that up? And I have a slight counter to it based on what Michael Andretti said at, where was I this weekend? St. Louis.
So, I don't know, about 5 months ago, we had heard rumors about Michael Andretti wanting to get back in. There was some sort of business person that he was in contact with. And now another recent report that came up last week has suggested that, once again, he's wanting to look into buying an existing team in Formula One. And if we do the math, the only one that really makes sense is Haas. There is literally no other team that I know of that's for sale.
Right.
In a regard, I mean, technically Mercedes, but not really, because I, like we said earlier, they should be rebranding next season. AlphaTauri, no. There's Lawrence Stroll's not going to sell Aston Martin. So there's really no other team that would make sense other than Haas. And if he's not going to, you know, build from the ground up, then yeah, it'd have to be Haas. They're going to do some sort of NASDAQ thing where they put their team or company or whatever on the stock exchange and raise $250 million somehow. Unfortunately, I'm not an expert in that area, so I don't know how that works exactly. But the stock symbol will be WNNR, winner.
Oh, ha.
So if they finish last, it's going to be kind of awkward. So, yeah, I'm a little skeptical. What is your take on it based on St. Louis?
I'm very skeptical. So Michael Andretti came out and said, and I don't remember who he said it to, but this, I vaguely remember hearing about this like a couple years ago, maybe.
Yes, there was a time he was in Montreal, and I can't remember who he was with. I think it was right before Force India was sold.
Right. So he said, I don't know why you're bringing up an old story. I said, essentially, nothing has changed from a couple years ago.
That's what he told you?
No, that's what he not me directly, but somebody else that was in the media center. So
why would we bring it up? I don't know, because it was in Racer 4 days ago.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, so that's, you know, obviously there's some sort of disconnect there, like why it was brought up again, but it might have been the Trackside Online guys, so Steve Wittick and Patrick Steffen. I think it was them, because I'm pretty friendly with them, so they would tell me. But I am almost positive somebody in the media center said, this is old news, as there's really nothing to it, so move on. So that's why I didn't even bother. I wasn't even going to tweet about it until, I tweeted about it, and then I realized, oh, this might be old news. So kind of interesting. I guess, listen, if Andretti buys Haas, good riddance, because I think Gene Haas just isn't fit to run a Formula One team. But unfortunately, I feel like Michael Andretti would be stuck with Mazepin. So,
yeah, I came up at the dinner table last night with my parents. If he could find a sponsor, not necessarily, but if he required it to be bankrolled, then yeah, unfortunately.
I feel like Michael Andretti's got plenty of money, but going into Formula One at the start, like having Mazepin's money, this like really hurts to like say this. Unless you're bankrolling $250 million in the stock exchange, which I don't understand either. I'm sure my brother would, because he's like a finance guru or wizard or whatever you want to call it, but I am not. So I don't know. I'm not putting too much stock into this one. Like, I'm not, honestly, outside of when you and I talked about it for like 3 seconds before the show, I would have totally forgotten that it was in the news last week. Do we have anything else news-wise to get to before we talk? Oh, let's give a shout out to Alex Albon, A, for joining the show last week, and B, won a DTM race. I don't really have much else to say other than good for Alex, and because I'm a little bit of a fan now since he was very friendly.
I guess Toto is waiting until September to make a decision.
Yeah, of course. So here's one, and then we can get to talking about Spa unless you have anything else. So with the extra time that they were granted to use the wind tunnel based on the new aero testing rules that came out this year that we discussed a couple months ago, Ferrari had what equated to, I think, 6 or 8 extra hours in the tunnel, which is 1 day extra in the tunnel. I don't know financially what 1 day in the tunnel costs, but I'm sure it's not cheap. And they said out of that extra day, all of that extra work, they got less than 0.1 seconds of time gained on track, they think. Why? Why, Mattia? Why?
It makes you feel better. That wind tunnel probably cost at least hundreds of millions of dollars.
Exactly. That's my point. And I know you know that, and you're just messing with me, but you spend, like, you should have a goddamn game plan to go in there and go, we're going to make the most out of this extra day. No, we're just going to throw some leaflets and some loose leaf binders on here, and we're going to see what it does.
That's the Italian way.
Yeah. It's annoying because they actually have improved this year, and they're just screwing up every chance they get to be, you know, the clear cut number three team. Cause I think they're tied or like 2 points behind McLaren right now. And, you know, I could be totally off. Maybe a tenth of a second is like the biggest deal ever, but I don't think so. Because if they're improving a tenth, that means McLaren is likely also improving probably more than a tenth, because I think McLaren utilizes their car development much better. But that's just my opinion. I don't know.
I would say within the last 2 years, maybe. But
yes, that's what I meant. I didn't mean like historically.
Oh yeah, because McLaren's had a tough.
Yeah, they had a rough couple of years.
Yeah, the whole 2010s decade was not the best for them.
I was watching the This Is a GP2 Engine Alonso race last night.
Oh, what was that, Suzuka? 16.
Yeah. Either way, it was. Oh God, you just cringe when you hear that.
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything else to add. I mean, that's kind of, they could be lowballing. You never know. They could just be like, you know, maybe not revealing their hand, sandbagging.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, F1 teams really like to sandbag in testing, but I don't know. I don't know why you would come out with, you know, what's the point of even saying anything then?
I'd rather get rid of wind tunnels, like the whatever proclamation says it's going to happen in 2030.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing mid-season testing coming back. Now, that's not to say like Ferrari can just go to what is it called, Fiorano, or their
right.
Their whole Maranello or whatever. They can't just like go there and then just run all day every day like they used to do back in the day. But like how IndyCar does it, where there's like private test sessions that every team's invited to, and if you want to, you can come, but you don't have to. But that way, like, you know, maybe not even like more than 4, but just have test session. Plus, the cool thing about what F1 testing used to do is, like, they used to do spring training at, like, Jerez, even though they didn't race there on the calendar that year. And yes. It's, like, super cool. They could go to that track in Finland. They could go to a couple other European tracks that they may not necessarily go to very often just to do a test day. I think that would be kind of cool. So, yeah, I think the wind tunnel thing is... Didn't McLaren just, like, ask Bahrain for a bunch of money to build one?
Yeah, I think they got a loan. Why don't you start talking about Spa or rambling on for a couple seconds here? And I will... Ooh, wind wall, wind tunnel. Words are hard today.
Why do they call it apartments?
Why do they call it apartments? I don't know.
Well, they're all built together, so...
Oh, God. That was a good dad joke. I'll give you that one.
Well, you told me to ramble. I don't know why. I could start talking about Spa, but then we're just going to have to come back to this anyways.
They have a new wind tunnel. Yeah, it's fair. What do I expect? New wind tunnel that should be operational sometime in 2022. So,
sweet. Yeah. They get it for 9 whole years. Sweet. Oh, no. We decided that they could use it for road cars, too, I guess.
Right. Somebody like McLaren or Ferrari might get use out of having a wind tunnel still. Mercedes or whatever they end up being called.
Let's check
years.
On Frank Williams.
Frank Williams.
What's he going to use wind tunnel?
Well,
for
no, it's Doralton Capital now. So Doralton Capital will use it to make money. Maybe they can make aerodynamic coins. I think we're onto something here.
That was so bad. Oh, man. Aerodynamic coins.
Oof. Everybody, if everybody's wondering, I have been on the road for essentially the last 22 days, and it hit hard yesterday that I really haven't slept very much. So, yeah. Let's talk about Spa before everybody stops listening because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that part. Top five from last year was, go figure, Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, Max Verstappen.
No.
I know. And then Daniel Ricciardo, Esteban Ocon. I did tweet out, I have this new thing called Podogami.
I love it.
It's kind of like Scorigami. For those who don't know what Scorigami is, I'd be happy to explain it to you in DM. But Podogami is basically like when there's a combination of podiums that we've never seen before. So, for example, if this next podium is Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, Max Verstappen at Spa, that has obviously happened actually more than any other podium combination in Formula One history. And I think it's by a couple now.
It's not just
up.
By one or two. It's by
no.
at least a handful.
So 1,046 races that Formula One has run so far in its history. 686 different combos. Hamilton, Verstappen, Bottas has happened 17 times. Hamilton, Rosberg, Vettel, 14. Alonso, Webber, Vettel, 13. Interesting to note that these are all basically from the last 15 years.
Yeah, it makes sense because, you know, the 50s and 60s, you know, the schedule is pretty short, so...
It could have been anybody, too.
Yeah.
I guess the only one I'm surprised there wasn't some sort of Prost-Senna combo on here with, like, Mansell or...
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should, too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
BK or Burger.
Yeah. Again, those cars weren't as reliable back then. So
it's true.
One race.
So yeah, between the reliability and then there's only 3 teams on here. No, sorry, 4. No, 3. Mercedes,
4,
Red Bull,
3.
And Ferrari.
4.
Because I wouldn't count McLaren.
No. No, it's
any of that.
No.
So yeah, so the prior week, though, of Ocon, Sainz, and Hamilton was a Potagami. So that was fun.
Yay.
So we will keep our eyes out for Potagami this weekend, see if we get a new combination. We discussed the unfortunate death of the track president last week,
yeah.
So hopefully there will be some sort of tribute
yes.
before the race, because that, again, is just a tragic situation. But the show goes on, and I'm not sure.
I've got the times in front of me if you want me to go there.
Yeah, there's no driver changes. There's no team changes, no liveries.
No. Spa would be a good place to have a special livery if you were a team, because you're going to get more eyes because it's such a famous track. Like that would be a good place for the McLaren Gulf livery type deal if it wasn't Monaco.
Right.
But the times. Practice.
Yes, go ahead.
Practice 1. This is all Eastern times. We don't do Central times here.
Oh, I'm going to be on the Eastern time on this weekend. So you're welcome.
Oh, cool.
I need to pay attention.
Oh, where are you going?
I will be in Virginia Beach.
Oh, right. You'll be on the other side of the state from Frenchie.
Where does
he
live?
Technically in Virginia, but it's like 4 hours from you.
Ew.
Or 4 hours from Virginia Beach, I should say.
Ew.
Yeah. Anyway, practice 1 is at 5:30 a.m. Practice 2, 9 a.m. Qualifying Saturday, 9 a.m. Race Sunday, 9 a.m. F3 is also racing this weekend. I hate this, and I'm going to rant on this for a second before we make our predictions.
Are you me today?
I might be.
What is going to happen in the IndyCar episode later? Like, am I just going to have to take a back seat?
You might. I guess we'll find out.
Damn.
So race 1 for F3 is 4:05. Race 2 is 11:55. Race 3 is Sunday at 4:40. The F2 and F3 schedule sucks. It's awful. They race... So I talked a little bit about this with Christian Lundgaard, and I talked about it with somebody else at the track, an IndyCar track, in the last couple weeks. I don't remember who it was. So you race 3 times in a weekend, 8 times all year. That means 16 race weekends you aren't racing. That's, that's how Christian Lundgaard ended up essentially in IndyCar for a weekend. Hats off to him for his performance again. And so they're on a F2 right now is on a 7-week break. I think they come back in Monza, and then so they race Monza and they race one other race close by, and then they have another 10-week break. I just don't see how on earth that is good for driver development, to be in the car for a couple days and then out of the car for 6 weeks, especially because a lot of these kids, maybe. Let's say Nicholas Latifi's still in F2. His dad's got enough money. He can do whatever he wants off then. Test a car, drive some F3 Asian series or something like that to stay active. But not all these kids can do that. I just don't think it's the right plan. And I have heard the FIA will be adjusting the schedule for F2 and F3 again next year. But I don't want to say any more than that, because I don't want to steal the thunder from who will be breaking the news overseas in a couple weeks.
Like, you just broke the news.
Yeah, there's more to come on it. That was my old man yells at the clouds rant. I'm probably have a couple of them for IndyCar tonight.
I think the only thing I would add to that is I hope the crews, engineers, everybody, I hope they're not getting like furloughed during this time.
Yeah, I don't know how that. I wouldn't think so, but
what do they do for? I mean, there's like the tale of two. I mean, you got like NASCAR and IndyCar, where it seems like IndyCar in the summer, they like never get a week off. And then like NASCAR's 36 races plus All-Star plus Gatorade plus the whatever it's called, the Busch shootout.
Gatorade?
Isn't that what the Gatorade 125s? I don't know. Set the field for the Daytona 500?
I honestly don't know.
You know, we shouldn't mention NASCAR because now
we're going to get in trouble.
We're being divisive right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. How dare you?
Sorry. My bad. I'll own that one. But yeah, I thought I just hope they're not getting like furloughed because 10 weeks off is, I don't even know what I'd do myself, but it'd be nice to take a check for not really doing a whole lot, especially since it's this pretty much a spec series. Obviously, teams can adjust the cars and develop them a little bit, but it's a spec series. I don't know what they're doing for their 10 weeks off or whatever. So yeah, I'd have nothing else to add. Hopefully Aston Martin puts enough fuel in Vettel's car this week.
Yeah, seriously.
Who you got doing good at the race?
Pierre Gasly had a hell of a pass going up into Eau Rouge last year there. So let's stick with the gas man to have a good weekend at Spa again.
I am hot taking Daniel Ricciardo.
Okay. I almost did that. I'm glad I didn't. So you could lose that one.
Appreciate it.
What's that mean?
No.
Okay.
What you got doing bad?
Let's go with, you know what? I'm gonna have to do this. You guys all could see it coming from a mile away since the last race. Esteban Ocon.
Oh, jeez. I hope he wins again. I'm going to go Vettel. I think he's had a couple good races in a row. So
yeah.
Something's going to go wrong, and hopefully a non-dramatic way. Top 10 dark horse.
Top 10 dark horse. I will take... this is always the toughest one, and I feel like this year it's more tough than it usually is. So I will say Yuki Tsunoda is going to finish in the top 10.
And I will say the king of Spa himself, Kimi Raikkonen.
Man, I put all my good eggs in the AlphaTauri basket. This could be bad news.
I have Ricciardo, Vettel, and Raikkonen so far. Party like it's
1997.
Yeah, seriously. And then lastly, who is getting out in Q1 with Latifi and the Haas cars?
Latifi and the Haas cars. Honestly, the way you said that, I was like, wait, did we add a new category here? Let's go with Lance Stroll.
And I will go with your boy Yuki, who was another topic of discussion.
Go ahead.
Dinner last night is that something you and I have talked about is when Honda leaves the sport,
yeah,
does that mean Yuki no longer gets the support from Honda? Do you think he will get a ride still at AlphaTauri on merit, or do you think because Honda's pulling out that they will find someone in the Red Bull Academy?
He was in the Red Bull Academy, so you'd think maybe Red Bull still would want him. But then again, if Helmut Marko seems to come out and like criticize him every week, even if he like last race, he finished 8th or 6th or somewhere around there. He finished in the top 10 in Hungary. And, you know, then going back to the news, there was an article that came out that said Tsunoda's rookie F1 struggles not out of the blue. Like, why are we kind of throwing the guy under the bus again? Like, yeah, we expect it, but the guy's not going to gain any more confidence when you keep putting headlines out there like that. Then again, it is Red Bull, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so I'm trying to check here. Yeah, so in 2019, he joined the Red Bull Junior program, which is the same year that Honda joined Red Bull. So I'm guessing that wasn't an accident. So...
okay, that's...
And it's he's had a good result here and there, but it's not like he's the world's greatest rookie. So... what other series in the world has Honda power?
Not NASCAR.
Mm-hmm. You're correct.
I think it would be our friends in IndyCar.
It would be. Although you said the word NASCAR, so you have to say something nice about them real quick.
They go to cool tracks, like Watkins Glen.
There you go. That's the one cool thing we can narrow down about NASCAR.
Sometimes their paint schemes are really cool.
Yeah, but they go to cool tracks and ruin them. I'm sorry. Nope, sorry. No, retract. No. Can't mean. Say that. Sorry. Mm-mm. Yeah, I think I will be the first to maybe start the Tsunoda to IndyCar rumors. But
I don't see it, but I would be thrilled to see it because I think he would play the ballsy villain role pretty well.
You can go ahead and say it. You can just say he's like a younger Sato.
No, that's actually not what I was going to say. I was trying to, I was going to curse, then I was like, I don't feel like editing that out later, so.
Why? You know what makes me feel happy and makes me giggle inside is when I say the cock instead of peacock.
Yeah, I'm just, we're just going to delete this.
I feel like
thing.
This just turned into an IndyCar episode at the end of here.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy F1 at Spa this weekend. I will be watching from my couch. I don't think I'm going to do too much live tweeting this weekend because I haven't been home in a long time and I'm going to the beach. So I'm going to relax. But we'll be back next week to discuss it. Maybe we'll get some silly season news now that people are back at the track and can sign contracts. Wink, wink, hint, hint. Come on, George Russell. And
oh, you're talking to me.
No. Anyway. Everybody, have a lovely weekend of racing, and thank you, as always, for continuing to listen.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!